Antos America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We're joined again today by Alan Stang. As we were discussing last week, Alan has a new book out. It's entitled Not Holier Than Thou, How Queer Is Bush? This is a definitive work, the only one of its type of which I am aware that deals with the homosexual infiltration of the Republican Party and of the Reagan and Bush administrations. Alan Stang, of course, as I had mentioned before on this show, goes back a long way in terms of investigative reporting work on the real American right. Part of that whole effort for Alan historically involves his groundbreaking work that has never been duplicated by anybody else in regard to the George Wallace shooting from May of 1972. I wanted to discuss that with Alan a little bit this morning, along with anything else that he'd like to pick up from last week in regard to the book, and also to chat about feminism and other issues of concern to Alan Stang, including his perceptions of this present situation in Iraq. Alan, how are you, sir?
I'm very well, Mark. Thank you so much for having me again.
Well, that's always a pleasure, Alan, because with your credentials and your ability on the radio, you're just a natural. If I could have you as a regular, I'd bring you on every week.
Well, that's very kind, Mark. Thank you.
Well, listen, I wanted to talk about all kinds of things this morning, including this George Wallace situation. For the listeners who do not remember any of the details in terms of what happened to Governor Wallace in May of 1972, I'd like for you to refresh their memories on this and to tell us why, 35 years ago, you became involved in investigating this in a way that nobody else did.
Well, remember that during the campaign, Governor Wallace was making tremendous headway. He won a couple of huge primaries. He was a serious candidate, and there appeared to be a possibility that Governor Wallace could actually have won the nomination and the election, the nomination in the Democrat Party and the general election in November. And so I wasn't at all surprised when the usual lone gunman, holding a handgun in one hand and a diary in the other, stepped out of a crowd and blew him away, shot him several times, and of course, in effect, took him out of the campaign. He wasn't killed. He survived, but in effect, his campaign was over. He never walked again. And the reason that I got into this is that, of course, we had seen the Kennedy assassination, November 22nd, 1963, and I just smelled the possibility that something was phony here. And nobody else, this is so interesting, Mark, one clue to me was that nobody else seemed to be investigating anything. The government gave us a few facts about the shooter. That was it. So I delved into it. I went to Milwaukee, oh golly, countless times. This is, of course, where the incident took place. I investigated the shooter, Mr. Hinckley, and eventually did a couple of feature magazine pieces about it.
Or Arthur Bremer, correct? Wasn't that the guy's name?
Arthur Bremer was the guy's name, yes. And discovered that he was not a lone gunman, that this was all part of an orchestrated plan that the communists were involved in to take Governor Wallace out of the campaign.
We'll be back with Alan Stang to talk about George Wallace as well as many other things this morning. Alan is the author of the new book, Not Holier Than Thou, How Queer Is Bush? This is Mark Gantos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in prophecy, the Antichrist, tyrants and wars, secret societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715.
Attention, this is an RBN Financial News Bulletin. Have you ever wanted to get out of debt, maybe even make some of your debts disappear completely? If so, and you're an RBN listener, there is a very real chance you will be able to do it. Here is why. A new manual has just been published that reveals how you can get out of debt in 90 minutes without any loans or bankruptcy whatsoever. The insider secrets revealed allow you to get out of debt so fast and so completely that it makes some people feel like they're stealing, but they're not stealing. The secrets taught in the manual are 100% legal and 100% ethical. It's just that bankers, debt collectors, and credit card companies don't want you to know about these loopholes. Don't be a prisoner of debt. Go to outin90.com. That's www.outin90.com or call 877-327-0365. RBN listeners receive a free DVD with purchase.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately 1 in 4 families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
Coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We're joined again this week by Alan Stang, the author of Not Holier Than Thou, How Queer Is Bush, dealing with the whole issue of the homosexual infiltration of the Republican Party under the Reagan administration and both Bush administrations. We're also expanding our conversation today with Alan to include his work in 1972 and thereafter, investigative reporting work on the George Wallace shooting for May of 1972. We're also going to be chatting with Alan this morning about what he thinks about feminism, as well as his perceptions of the American right wing currently. How does he see our movement playing out in terms of those who support the war in Iraq as well as those who don't? How does he see this burgeoning division in the American right wing at present over the whole question of Zionism in Israel and so forth and so on? Alan, dealing then with this Wallace situation, we go back to May of 1972. He's campaigning in Laurel, Maryland in a parking lot. Arthur Bremer suddenly emerges out of the crowd and starts shooting. Wallace, of course, was wounded, severely wounded, never walked again. Politically, George Wallace was taken out of the scene in as effective a way as would have been the case had he been killed, of course. Arthur Bremer, his attacker, was from Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Unlike anybody else, Alan Stang started delving more deeply into the background of Arthur Bremer, smelling that a conspiracy to shoot Wallace was probably involved. He went on to say then, Alan, that you discovered in researching the Arthur Bremer case that much like these other shootings of the 1960s and early 70s, that the lone gunman theory began to break down very, very quickly. What did you find out about Bremer?
Bremer was plugged into a shadowy group of people who apparently assigned him to do this. And remember the background to all of this. Again, I mentioned, Mark, the assassination of the president, President Kennedy, 1963. All right, then 1968, you've got the execution of agitator Martin Luther King, who, of course, was working very closely with the communists. And then you've got the assassination of the execution of Bobby Kennedy. And there you've got, of course, Sirhan Sirhan, the Muslim assassin. And in all of these cases, the establishment media tell us, well, this is a lone gunman. The term lone gunman, you may remember, Mark, became something of a joke. The use of that term would elicit guffaws among people who had some idea of what was going on at the time. Because always, even before anything was known, we're told, well, it's a lone gunman. And part of the joke was the lone gunman usually had a diary in one hand and a handgun in the other. And the diary would say, "I'm a lone gunman." So it became something. And it's somewhat akin, Mark, to today, is it not? It occurs to me, in which as soon as something happens, we're told it's not terrorism. And maybe it isn't terrorism, but how are you able to announce that it's not terrorism within 5 minutes of the incident you are talking about?
Exactly. For those of us who believe that the Wallace and King and Kennedy shootings were as a result of conspiracy, we're always assailed by these people who say, "Boy, you guys are so quick to jump the gun to this and to say that it was conspiracy." Our rebuttal would then be, well, we've looked at the evidence. We think that the people who said it was not a conspiracy were the ones who jumped the gun.
Well, that's exactly right, Mark. We don't say everything that happens is a conspiracy. We say let's investigate and find out whether anything is there. We don't decide. We keep the so-called, quote, open mind that the liberaloids constantly say they approve of. But they themselves do not have the open mind that they say everyone should have. So, absolutely right. In fact, now you're getting into the whole area of conspiracy theory, which we could discuss if you like.
Sure, absolutely. And in conjunction with this business of the conspiracy theory that surrounds the Wallace thing, I remember reading the establishment press's coverage of this so-called Bremer diary. I know that you've looked into this, obviously, Alan, in ways that are well beyond anything I could do or have ever done. What did you discover about this Bremer diary, and what did this diary suggest about who the other players may have been in this plot?
I would have to refresh my memory on the subject, Mark. You're going back 35 years now.
Yes.
I would have to read my own stories again, my reporting, to give you the actual details of the plot. But as we talk now, I do recall discovering that Bremer was, again, not a lone gunman. He was plugged into a group that had connections all over the country. It was a terrorist group, and by the way, this was not very difficult to discover. This is crucially important. Any other reporter, especially a reporter for a major news organization, could have dug out what I did. So that what I reported was really not any spectacular feat of journalism. If it had been, then you could say, well, the reason there was no coverage is Alan Stang dug it out. No one else could find out about it. That wasn't the case at all. Anybody else could have done this, but the powers in the media decided not to give it any coverage, as they don't give coverage to so many of the major stories, like 9/11 would be another example. That we see making dramatic changes in our country. Some of the most crucial developments in our country not covered at all. The news totally manipulated. They tell us what is important, what's not important. This was the case with regard to the Arthur Bremer story. I'm looking up now. I'm on the net and I'm looking up Arthur Bremer to see whether I could whether I can resurrect the details that you want, Mark, that we could get into with regard to the story that I wrote. Let's see if I can, as we speak, if I can
and,
find.
And while you're doing that, Alan, do you think from your own perspective on this, as one who was really, really delving into this at the time, do you think that in principle we should understand, or that it's fair to understand, or to say that the forces that were behind the Kennedy shootings and the shooting of King were also involved in this Wallace thing? Was this a part of a seamless garment in your judgment?
I would say that in general, the answer to that question probably would be yes. You see that the all of these things take us in one direction. They are all right. Now wait a minute. Here we've got something coming up with regard to Arthur Bremer. Yes, all of these things seem to take us in one direction, don't they? There isn't one of these incidents that happens that changes the direction of the country. Now here I'm looking at some of the material that has been unearthed with regard to Arthur Bremer. But this is not. I'm looking at something now that's not. Well, it's based upon what I wrote. I say now, yes. All right, here we are. Writing in American Opinion magazine in 1972, I'm looking now at on the internet, of course, Alan Stang had suggested a Maoist radical, who later was murdered in Canada, yes, had paid Bremer to shoot Wallace. This prompted calls for a congressional investigation. Nearly every facet of the story eventually was targeted. Okay.
Okay.
Bremer, Bremer was financed by these people. Now it's coming back to me. Yes, Bremer was financed by these people. And some of the story appeared in Insight magazine, associated with the Washington Times, of course. So, yes, Bremer was part. And now, of course, if it was a Maoist operation, you're talking about communist China, are you not? You're talking about financing by the Mao Zedong people in communist China. So, yes, all of these things take us in one direction. The assassinations in the 60s, yeah. Now, here's somebody, the Walshott Files, okay. Maryland private investigator Sharon Weidenfeld. For someone with no friends, he always seems to have money. She's talking about Bremer because of the things he buys in the commissary. In prison, that's a way of gauging how wealthy you are. No one knows where the money is coming from. Yes, all of these connections. Bremer always seemed to have enough money to get around wherever he wanted to go, whatever he wanted to do, but he had no visible means of support, as the police put it.
We'll be back with Alan Stang. This is Mark Gancoff's America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned.
Have you heard of a privacy crisis? Odds are you're already immersed in one. The U.S. government is now legally tapping phones, monitoring emails, tracking purchases, and seizing property in record numbers. Banks are demanding invasive personal information for even the smallest transaction. Unfortunately, stalkers looking to harm you or your financial situation are using the same methods. So how can you protect yourself, your loved ones, and all that you own? Well, the first step is to purchase the most important how-to book you'll ever read. It's called Privacy Crisis by author Grant Hall. In minutes, you'll know the methods he himself has used and advised others about in order to bank anonymously, open a safety deposit box without a social security number. With Privacy Crisis, you'll discover how to avoid judgments, seal your credit files airtight, drop off the radar, and virtually disappear from those looking to cause you injury. The ebook and hardcover versions are available at www.privacycrisis.com. Grant Hall's Privacy Crisis contains information and legal methods the powers that be don't want you to know. Travel, bank, work, and live anonymously. Live free. You can also order Privacy Crisis by telephone. Call 702-433-6222.
All right, employees, listen up. Our group health insurance premium just went up again. In fact, it's doubled in the last 4 years, and now we've been forced to try something new. So we're increasing the annual deductible from $500 to $2,500. Okay, cut the moaning. The good news is you'll all still only have to pay your regular $500 deductible. The company is installing a new health reimbursement arrangement, or HRA plan, that will pay up to $2,000 in benefits only to those employees who have deductible expenses. This new HRA plan is saving us a lot of money.
Employers all over the country are discovering how to roll back insurance costs using Core Documents' HRA concept. Core Documents is the nation's primary source for affordable plan documents required by the IRS and Department of Labor for Section 125 and HRA plans. Use your insurance agent and let Core Documents help you with plan design. Do a Google search for Core Documents or see us at coredocuments.com. That's Core, C-O-R-E, documents, plural, .com.
I found this company online, and they had this really unique variety of salt wellness products. I read some of the articles and ended up ordering this beautiful salt lamp. According to the company, they said that the salt crystal lamps gently purify indoor air. I was so amazed. I put it in the baby's room, and it made a perfect nightlight. Both my husband and I could tell the difference.
SoleWellness.com is a unique company that offers salt wellness products from around the world.
So, I went back to the site and ordered their Soleil Simple Natural Cleaning products, also made with Himalayan salt. I figured it would clean really well. The natural cleaning products worked wonderfully, and there was no scent. This company has so many products my whole family can enjoy and feel better with. Plus, the service was great.
If you're interested in natural, homeopathic, time-tested remedies, visit SoleilWellness.com. That's SoleilWellness.com. Or call 312-224-2710. 312-224-2710.
America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We're joined today by Alan Stang, the author of the new book, Not Holier Than Thou, How Queer is Bush? That is an incredible work, by the way, folks. If you want to get into how the homosexual movement has infiltrated the Republican Party, and the way in which it was operating within the Reagan and Bush administrations, respectively, all three of them, Reagan, Bush 1, and Bush 2, you need to get a copy of Alan Stang's book. Among many other things, Alan Stang is also the author of a post that appeared in the American Opinion in October of 1973 entitled Arthur Bremer, The Communist Plots to Kill George Wallace. We were chatting with Alan a little bit this morning about those days in regard to the Wallace shooting. Alan, I notice as I go through some of the material that exists on the net in regard to the shooting of George Wallace in May of 1972 in Laurel, Maryland, there is a name that continues to come up in these conversations, a guy by the name of Dennis Cossini. Do you remember
Cossini.
This guy?
Oh, yes, Dennis Cossini, Maoist operator, who was found shortly soon after the assassination in the trunk of his car, dead, committed suicide by locking himself in the trunk of his car. And loaded with drugs, but he didn't use drugs. Yes.
He was found in Toronto, Canada, was he not?
Yes, he was found. His corpse was found in the trunk of his car in Toronto. This was the, we believe, was the, this man was the point man for Arthur Bremer, the actual assassin who did the shooting, the would-be assassin who shot Governor Wallace. Cossini was apparently part of a Maoist gang, and he's the guy who was in intelligence terminology, was Bremer's handler, who supplied him with all the funds that he needed to travel around the country to do what he needed in order to get the job done. Yes.
Well, you're, in your judgment, Alan, as we continue to discuss this guy, Dennis Cossini, and his relationship to Arthur Bremer, and the fact that Cossini, in turn, had, as you put it, a Maoist connection, and I guess you discussed this in this October 73 piece with the American Opinion.
Yes.
How, in your judgment, as somebody who has seen this sort of thing up close, how do these organizations work in terms of recruiting somebody like Bremer to begin with?
They look for people who are maladjusted, who are unhappy, who are neurotic, who are looking for something that will give meaning to their lives. If you look at the Bremer, look at Lee Harvey Oswald, look at Sirhan Sirhan. These are people who can be easily manipulated. They are mentally deranged in some way, because of course the shooter, the man who's going to take the fall, sometimes the man who takes the fall isn't even the shooter. Of course, is relatively unimportant in one of these operations, and so they look at people coming to their meetings and gradually draw them in, and it's a brainwashing process, and they gradually begin to discuss, begin to investigate, and in long discussions they will figure out, yeah, this is a guy we can use for a certain purpose. If you look at these guys, you will see that there is a similarity in all of them. And then you move up let's not fail to include the Oklahoma City bombing in 1995. One after the other, you see that in this respect, there is a similarity, a psychological similarity in all of these guys. But that is the way they do it. They would just gradually recruit by seeing who might be susceptible to the type of thing that they want to do. You know, you're going to do a great thing. You're going to make history. You're going to be in the history books. For some types of people, that kind of an allure, doing something dramatic on a day, on one day, would be alluring.
Well, in all of these situations, and I think particularly of Oswald and of Bremer, you know, and various investigative reporters of repute, including yourself, began to delve into these situations, it seems to me that this business of identifying their ultimate handlers can get quite sticky, given the fact that these fellows seem to have the kinds of subterranean connections which could point in a number of different directions. And that's what I want to take up with you when we come back. This is Mark Pantoff's America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We'll be back with Alan Stang. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. because you can handle the truth.
Hi, this is Brother Michael Diamond from Most Holy Family Monastery. We are now offering a critically important $10 package. The package contains three DVDs with 10 different programs, our new 658-page book called The Truth About What Really Happened to the Catholic Church After Vatican II, which is the most comprehensive book ever produced on what has happened to the Catholic Church in the last 50 years. You also get another 335-page book and other material. Order now at our website, mostholyfamilymonastery.com. The last word, monastery, spelled M-O-N-A-S-T-E-R-Y. At the website, you can watch all of our videos for free, read sample chapters of the new book and other articles, or call us 24 hours a day at 1-800-275-1126. That's 1-800-275-1126. Or you can mail in your order to us at Most Holy Family Monastery, 4425 Schneider Road, Fillmore, New York, 14735. The price of the whole package is $10, which includes media mail shipping, $15 for UPS Ground, or $30 outside the U.S. MostHolyFamilyMonastery.com.
Come on, Bill. 2 weeks ago, you were riding a bicycle. And today, you're showing up in your new car and telling me you're buying a house? What did you do, rob Bill Gates?
No, John, I didn't rob Bill Gates. What I did do is visit the website www.didyourobbillgates.com. That's where I learned how to make $3,000 to $9,000 each and every week, starting with my very first week. It's a simple program that does all the work for you. I'm already up to $25,000 just going on my third week.
Whoa. What was that website again?
It's www.didyourobbillgates.com. Now write this down, John. You should go there and learn how this program can help you become financially independent, too.
Thanks, Bill. I'm going there right now.
Check, please.
You got this one, right, Bill?
Sure, John. Don't forget, it's www.didyourobbillgates.com. Next time, you'll be buying me lunch.
Deal.
With recent international flight from the dollar, it's confusing. How to protect your wealth against this invisible loss of purchasing power? Let the Republic Trading Group help you see through the fog and deception of the fiat money masters. The fact is, gold is and always has been the only insurance against the erosion of your wealth. So put the power of gold to work for you and rest assured your purchasing power is secure. Buy your gold from the most dependable and reputable dealer, Republic Trading Group. Call today, 1-800-691-7898, and let Robbie Noel help you see through the fog. When you support the Republic Trading Group, you're also supporting Republic Broadcasting Network. So visit our new and improved website today, republictradinggroup.net, for daily news and information from around the world. Don't be confused. Call Republic Trading Group today, 1-800-691-7898, and lock in the power of gold.
America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Alan Stang joins us again today. His new book, entitled Not Holier Than Thou, How Queer Is Bush, is something that is must reading to see the extent to which the homosexual movement has infiltrated the Republican Party. The Republican Party. How it was operating within the Reagan and Bush administrations, historically and presently. That, folks, is must reading at a later point in today's show. We will refresh your memories on how to get a copy of Alan's book. Today we're going back in time 35 years, at least in the first part of our conversation with Alan, to talk about his seminal work in investigating the George Wallace shooting in May of 1972. For those of you whose memories are dim or who were not alive in May of 1972, the George Wallace shooting in Laurel, Maryland, in a shopping center parking lot, was a continuation of the themes of earlier assassinations in this country. John F. Kennedy, November the 22nd, 1963, Martin Luther King in April of 68, Robert Kennedy in June of 68, and then, of course, the George Wallace shooting in May of 1972 at the hands of Arthur Bremer of Milwaukee in Laurel, Maryland, seems to be the icing on the cake in terms of a very, very turbulent decade in American history that continues to reverberate in its implications. And as we think about the George Wallace shooting, we get back to our conversation with Alan Stang. Alan, this business of Dennis Cosini, whom you indicate was seen with Arthur Bremer on numerous occasions in the times leading up to the shooting, Dennis Cosini at one level appears to have quite an impressive left-wing resume. I'm looking at some information about this guy online that indicates that he had connections with the SDS, that he was involved with some leftists at Marquette University in Wisconsin. Cosini, by the same token, is also alleged by some to have had a connection to the American Central Intelligence Agency. And there have been a lot of rumors about this Wallace shooting, frankly, that over the years have surrounded the names of some of the key people involved in the Watergate controversy, Gordon Liddy, E. Howard Hunt, Anthony Ulasewicz. Their names also come up in allegations that were made over the years,
yes,
that there was more to this Wallace shooting than we were told at the time.
Yes.
So when you look at Dennis Cosini, Alan, and the fact that he had these connections to the SDS and to some of these Maoist organizations, we also see the names of certain people connected to the Nixon administration who are floated about from time to time in regard to charges and countercharges on this. Like the Lee Harvey Oswald situation in 1963, are we dealing with somebody, like in the case of Cosini, who had so many covert connections that the ultimate identity of his handlers becomes more murky? Or are you confident that basically in the case of the Wallace shooting, we were and are dealing with a communist conspiracy here?
That would be my conclusion, Mark, yes, that we're dealing with some aspect of the worldwide communist conspiracy, which we call today the conspiracy for world government, in which communism, of course, plays an important part. When you look at the connections of all of these people, oh, and by the way, Mark, we need to also, you brought up the question before the last break of the psychology of these people. We also need to mention the attempted Reagan assassination. John Hinckley. His motive was he wanted to impress Jodie Foster. He tries to kill the president because this will get Jodie Foster's attention, you see. She will notice him. And so he tries to kill the president. Well, so you're not dealing with a normal individual here, are you? And of course, John Hinckley later on, I'm sure, has learned the ironic fact that Jodie Foster is a lesbian. So there really wouldn't have been a heck of a lot of point in trying to impress her with anything he did. But this is the reason that we are given in his diary, his desire to impress movie star Jodie Foster. So the people who do these things are recruited, they are managed by professional handlers. In the case of Arthur Bremer, it would have been Dennis Cosini. And then something that does seem to happen is the handlers seem to disappear or to commit suicide soon after the operation that they have managed. Is that not the case? In the case of Dennis Cosini, that certainly happened. In the case of the Kennedy assassination, that happened. So there are similarities if you look at all of these events, especially similarities in the types of individuals, very unstable, kooky individuals they recruit to do something like this. Because after all, when you're talking about assassinating the president, you're talking about an unusual individual, are you not? And now to get back to your last question, yes, there does seem to be a connection between most of these people in terms of the type of political orientation that they have, which would be far left, wanting to advance the purposes, advance the goal of the extreme left in our country.
Well, it's interesting in the case of Oswald, and I think it's certainly true when it comes to the whole business of Arthur Bremer. We might even bring James Earl Ray into this conversation. It seems that when somebody is selected for this type of an assignment, that they fit the profile that you describe, Alan, and that ultimately what I find myself wondering when I read the backgrounds of these people is to what extent are they simply talked into these kinds of actions on the basis of this sick psychological profile that suggests that there's an unfulfilled ego need involved in wanting to feel important and transcendent and significant by shooting a person of public prominence in history, but also to what extent are there other factors that play into it as well? I mean, in your view, are some of these people, we think of Oswald, we think of Sirhan, James Earl Ray, and Arthur Bremer, just naming those four, along with John Hinckley, we can throw him in as the fifth, are these people who can be manipulated to do these things simply on the basis of their own sick psychology as well as whatever financial remuneration they get out of it? Or are there other factors that also play into it? I mean, do you believe that some of these people, as has been suggested of at least two or three of them, may have been given psychotropic medications and other outside manipulatory influences in order to make them Manchurian candidates?
I think both of those things could be true. There certainly isn't any contradiction between these two theories. They start out with somebody who is a loser, whom we never would have heard of. We never would have heard of any of these people in history had they not done what they did. They just would have been born, lived their lives, and died in total anonymity, total obscurity. But now, look, now they're dead or in prison, and we're talking about them. You and I are talking about them on a national show.
Yeah, they're a lot more famous than I am, that's for sure.
Well, and then I am, yes. So they made a mark in history. People write books about them. I mean, that's very heady stuff. Now, to put that together with what you also suggested, there certainly isn't any contradiction. In fact, we do know that drugging their warriors is something that the terrorists do routinely. In Vietnam, they discovered that many of the Viet Cong were zonked out of their minds on various drugs, which is was the reason that they were so fanatical and so brave. The drugs had driven them out of their minds, so this is not anything unusual when you consider all the ramifications of the conspiracy for world government. So it's perfectly possible that drugs were an element in some of the events that we're discussing. So yeah, I think all of the answer would have to be all of these things could be factors. There isn't any contradiction at all.
Well, as far as Bremer is concerned, what do you make of these allegations over the years that he was seen in the company of several people with connections to the Nixon administration. I'm thinking, for example, of the very famous White House plumbers operative Anthony Ulasewicz. Do you place credence in those reports?
I have not been able to nail down those reports in my own investigation. But if you ask yourself what part the plumbers could have played in all of this, remember you're talking about 1972. Nixon is running for re-election. There is the absolutely, utterly phony Watergate incident. And here you've got Governor Wallace coming on strong. Millions of votes. People are fed up. They're disgusted. And here is this electrifying candidate who shows the possibility of actually taking the Democrat nomination. Now, had he won the nomination and been able to stand on his own feet, had he not been shot, it would have been, I mean, speculate about this. It would have been quite reasonable. It's quite reasonable now to speculate that maybe he could have won the presidency. So here you would have had a completely loose cannon rolling around on the deck of the ship of state, not a part of the conspiracy for world government as president. Who knows what could have happened? And so somebody up there decided to take this man out. I would not be at all surprised to learn that this connection you mention is a lot stronger than I'm able to prove it is right now.
Yes, and when we think about this Dennis Cosini, again, this guy who had connections to the Weatherman. He went to Cuba as a member of the Viceremos Brigade. You can tell I don't speak Spanish.
Viceremos. You would say Venceremos.
Yes.
Yeah.
And Spanish is spoken in my household, but not by me. My wife is Spanish-speaking. She's originally from South America. And then you've got the Mao Communist Progressive Labor Party, which Cosini has been identified as having been connected with. But then you have people that allege that he also had connections to significant figures in both the Nixon administration as well as the CIA. So, you know, again, much as has been the case with Lee Harvey Oswald, just to name one, the multiplicity of the connections seems, at least to me, to blur the picture as to the totality and the comprehensive character of the conspiracy that I believe was involved in wanting to shoot Governor Wallace along with these other people. But are we dealing with a situation where the ultimate powers that be that were behind this shooting want to cover their tracks in terms of coming up with layers of people between themselves and the assassin that whose own connections are somewhat confusing to the rest of us? Or to what extent are we dealing with something that involved a collusion of interest where the radical left in the United States, speaking of the Communist Party, those involved in the desire to create global world government, and also people with a potentially a more narrow interest who simply wanted Wallace out of the way so that he would not threaten the chances of the mainstream candidates in both the Republican and Democratic parties that year. To what extent is there a sense in which we might see all of these interests dovetailing into what apparently was a decision at some point along the way to get rid of Wallace?
Well, I think that's the way it works. You've got a lot of different people, each of whom has a somewhat different and often a very different purpose, motive, whose motives are able to come together, focus on a specific event, each one of whom is getting what he wants out of the particular operation that they are planning. So all of these things that you mention could undoubtedly are at play here. And by the way, Mark, this reminds me to say with regard to what has become known as the conspiracy theory. You notice the people who belittle the idea that there could be any conspiracy happening in any of these things, they say that you and I, people who look into things like this, we're simple-minded. We attribute everything to a conspiracy, to a single cause. Instead of looking for the multiplicity of human emotions, of course, exactly the opposite is true, because the people who belittle the idea of conspiracy always say there is no conspiracy and nothing happened. He was a lone gunman. Where, on the contrary, you and I have to devote a lot of time, as we are right now, to discussing, analyzing, investigating the different people, connections involved. It takes a heck of a lot of time and energy to do this.
Yes. We'll be back with Alan Stang. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in prophecy, the Antichrist, tyrants and wars, secret societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F. 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715.
Imagine if powerful technology existed to help your body neutralize pathogens, revitalize cells, and intensify your immune system. How do you think that might affect your wellness and longevity? One of the most powerful breakthroughs in electromedicine was the multiwave oscillator created by Drs. Tesla and Lakovsky. More powerful and useful than Rife machines, Evenstar photonic multiwave oscillators are designed to send trillions of life-enhancing frequencies deep into organic tissue to help eliminate chronic and acute wellness conditions at their source. Over the past 14 years, Evenstar users time and again report excellent results working with a wide range of wellness conditions. To learn why Evenstar may be your perfect wellness and longevity solution, visit evenstarforlife.com or call 888-333-5095. Serious wellness threats are on the rise. Don't you owe it to your family to explore this powerful technology today? Evenstarforlife.com, evenstarforlife.com, or 888-333-5095. That's 888-333-5095.
Attention, this is an RBN financial news bulletin. Have you ever wanted to get out of debt, maybe even make some of your debts disappear completely? If so, and you're an RBN listener, there is a very real chance you will be able to do it. Here is why. A new manual has just been published that reveals how you can get out of debt in 90 minutes without any loans or bankruptcy whatsoever. The insider secrets revealed allow you to get out of debt so fast and so completely that it makes some people feel like they're stealing, but they're not stealing. The secrets taught in the manual are 100% legal and 100% ethical. It's just that bankers, debt collectors, and credit card companies don't want you to know about these loopholes. Don't be a prisoner of debt. Go to outin90.com. That's www.outin90.com or call 877-327-0365. RBN listeners receive a free DVD with purchase.
America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Alan Stang is with us today, not simply to discuss with us some of the things related to his new book, which we looked at last week. We might get into some other political and cultural issues with Alan in the final hour of the show. But we've also been taking a look back at May of 1972, the Arthur Bremer shooting of George Wallace in Laurel, Maryland, in a parking lot of a shopping center there in Laurel. And Arthur Bremer, of course, was from Milwaukee. What connections did Mr. Bremer have? Who was he really working for? Alan Stang and one other reporter for the Review of the News and American Opinion at the time, a gentleman by the name of Timothy Heinon, if I'm pronouncing Timothy's last name correctly, were very, very much involved in uncovering this for us at the time. We'll be taking a further look at this with Alan in just a couple of minutes, but this is a time of frequent commercial break on my show for the next 5 to 7 minutes or so. So I wanted to take this opportunity to ask all of you to support the Republic Broadcasting Network. You can do so by contacting us online at www.republicbroadcasting.org. Give us a call at 1-800-724-2719. That's 1-800-724-2719. Support the American Free Press, folks. Call them at 1-888-699-NEWS. That's 1-888-699-NEWS. Willis Carto and Christopher Petrick have put together an incredible team of correspondents. That includes Mark Glenn, Mark Anderson, and Michael Collins Piper, among others. These folks need your support, both with an increase in print subscriptions as well as your purchases of AFP-related books on their in their book publishing division, as well as getting the word out to other people about the American Free Press. Then there's the political candidacy of Ron Paul that we've been talking about on this show from time to time. Congressman Paul needs your support. Is he the candidate of the real American right in this current presidential sweepstakes? I certainly believe that he is. That's an editorial remark, but I am suggesting that supporting RBN, supporting AFP, and supporting Ron Paul may be three very good things to be doing this year to the extent that you can support us. Please do. We also get into something that I mentioned yesterday on the show, and that is that if you are a Lutheran, or a conservative Christian who's interested in what is going on in different wings of the Christian church, including the Lutheran, you might want to avail yourself of a convention or a conclave that's taking place September 7th and 8th, 1 month from today, or 1 month from now, in Brenham, Texas. The Texas Confessional Lutherans are having a conference September 7th and 8th in Brenham, Texas. Contact them at www.concordtx.org for more information. That's www.concordtx.org. Also wanted to mention again, before we cut away for another commercial, that Mark Glenn will be on tonight on Michael Collins Piper's show here on RBN. Mark Glenn will be subbing for Mike these next few nights this week so that Mike can get a much-needed rest and vacation. Tune in Mark Glenn tonight on RBN at 8 p.m. Central. Dr. Hesham Talawi will also be on with Current Issues TV at 6:30 p.m. Central. He will be interviewing Ambassador Edward Peck. We'll be back with Alan Stang when Mark Dantos America returns live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned.
True.